The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Maybe we should all take just like 10 minutes a day to say a prayer about it. I'm serious. Like, why not? And I'm saying that to you, not as some kind of evangelist. I'm literally saying that to you as an Episcopalian, the Samaritans of our time. I'm coming to you from the most humble and lowly theological position you can. I'm literally an Episcopalian, okay? And even I have concluded it might be worth taking just 10 minutes out of your busy schedule to say a prayer for the future, and I hope you will.
There's Tucker Carlson speaking at the Heritage Foundation over the weekend, and little did he know at the time that he would be fired from Fox News. That breaking news just a few minutes ago, and he doesn't even get to come back tonight. He can't even come back and say goodbye to his audience. Canned by Rupert Murdoch. Boy, there's a lot to get into on today's show. My head is just spinning. Susan Rice, she's basically running the fake Biden presidency. She's gone. These are earth-shaking developments. There's Tucker at Heritage Foundation talking about good versus evil, encouraging the nation to pray for at least 10 minutes. Pray for the nation. And now he's out. This is the end of Fox News. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. The URL, trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com, and you can watch the show live, or you can go to our websites and listen or watch on demand as well. You can also have them downloaded to your devices. As I say, quite a lot to get to on today's show. First, the statement here from Fox News. It says, Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson have agreed to part ways. We thank him for his service to the network as a host and prior to that as a contributor. It says, Mr. Carlson's last program was Friday. Fox News Tonight will air live at 8 p.m. starting this evening as an interim show helmed by rotating Fox News personalities until a new host is named. So the number one broadcaster in cable news, he's out at Fox News. And of course, we've been saying in recent months, how much longer is he going to last on that show? He's been making more appearances outside of Fox, like at the Heritage Foundation over the weekend, and he sees so much of the evil, and yet what does it tell you about the power behind this Antiochus takeover, this communist infiltration of the United States? I was noticing General Mike Flynn just yesterday commenting on that video, part of which you just saw. And Mike Flynn, he says, Tucker Carlson is one of the most important voices of our time. He's one of the most important voices of our time. And now he's gone. No more Fox News for him. And what will the other hosts at Fox do? Probably just ignore it, pretend that it's not really happening. I mean, they can't say much. You can't come out and disagree with them. You'd be the next one. The spirit of Antiochus. How many communists in the media have been calling for Tucker's head in recent weeks? He's inciting violence. He's causing violence, his message. And so they blotted him out. Well, let's hope he finds another platform soon. He doesn't understand everything. Certainly with respect to prayer, he should throw in repentance. We'll get to that in just a second as well. But again, as far as identifying the evil, he's a lot like Donald Trump. He can see it. He can see it. And listen, Donald Trump, for his part over the weekend, he's out there pointing at Mike Flynn in the audience saying, you know, get ready, Mike. stay in good health. This had to have sent shockwaves throughout the communist establishment. Mike Flynn, follow his Twitter feed sometime. We're hoping to get an interview with him on this program at some point. But this is a man who also, he knows, he sees the evil. I'm speaking of General Flynn. And he also understands its origins. He knows that so much of this goes right back to Barack Hussein Obama. This is why they had a widespread freakout in 2016 when Donald Trump named him as his national security advisor. They went after Flynn first. And then yesterday, or rather Saturday, for Donald Trump to say to Mike Flynn, you're coming back with me. He all but said he's going to be in Trump's administration. So Susan Rice, who ran the Oval Office, she's out. They see what's, I'll play a montage for you in just a second. They see what's coming. They know what's coming. Biden's supposed to announce his reelection bid tomorrow. He's pushing 80 years of age. He's a mere shell of what he once was. Everyone can see this. All of the talking heads, they're now going on and on about age, as Donald Trump has correctly said. They're focusing on age, not his mental decline. They're focusing on age because they want to sort of lump Donald Trump into it. We need some young blood. But there's a difference in the minds of these two, Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Here Biden's coming out tomorrow to announce his reelection bid, and the mainstream news channels are reporting that 74% of America thinks that we're on the wrong track. It's going to be difficult to come up with as many fake ballots as they'll need to beat Donald Trump this time around, assuming it even goes that far to the next election. These are earth-shaking events that are happening. Tucker's out. He can't even come. He's the number one rated broadcaster on Fox News, and they won't even let him come back and say goodbye to his audience? What is going on? Well, you know what's going on if you have this book. America is under attack. America is under attack, and more commentators see this. They see it plain as day. Listen to Tucker from his speech over the weekend. This is clip number 5.
If you have people who are saying, I have an idea, let's castrate the next generation. Let's sexually mutilate children. Sorry, that's not a political debate. What? What's that to do with politics? What's the outcome we're desiring here? An androgynous population? Is that really what we are? Are we arguing for that? No, I don't think anyone could defend that as a positive outcome. But the weight of the government and a lot of corporate interests are behind that. Well, what is that? Well, it's irrational. If you say, I think abortion is always bad. Well, I think sometimes it's necessary. That's a debate I'm familiar with. But if you're telling me that abortion is a positive good, what are you saying? Well, you're arguing for child sacrifice, obviously.
This isn't politics, he says there. It's not conservative versus liberal. This is good versus evil. And the talking heads in the media, they don't like this message. I don't think Rupert Murdoch likes that message either. The other side is evil, says Tucker. And now he's gone. He can't come with that kind of a message. Not to Fox News. Because listen, a good conservative sits down with the other side. You've got to sit down with the communists and you've got to try to meet in the middle. You've got to try to compromise. This morning in Epistles of Paul, we were going through Titus and then the very beginning of 1 Timothy. And here's the Apostle Paul. This is a man of God, and he's giving guidance and direction and instruction to his top lieutenants, his evangelists in the ministry. And he said to both of them, now I want you to shun vain and profane babblings, even silly questions. Just reject it. Don't even entertain that nonsense. Would you want to cozy up to the devil and try to reach a compromise with Satan the devil? He's the one orchestrating the attack. And so the only language that he and his minions will understand, his foot soldiers will understand, is force. I mean, in a spiritual sense. Even Jesus said the kingdom of God is taken by violence. You've got, as we've said so many times on this show, I know I sound like a broken record at times, you've got to fight for the truth. You've got to fight for the purity of godly doctrine. Stand fast. Hold on to the traditions. These are the admonitions you find throughout the New Testament. Don't let it slip away. Show God that you're fired up for this. He just spews the Laodiceans out of his mouth because he hates lukewarmness. He'd rather us be cold or hot. Obviously hot. But he hates lukewarmness. He hates that spirit of complacency. And it's everywhere around us. Just settle into a more complacent posture. Make sure that you're trying to cozy up to the other side. Meet in the middle. I mean, this expose, it doesn't just expose Fox News. I mean, we were exposing Fox News last week. I told you about the Dominion settlement, that if you don't stand up to it and fight against it, they'll just steamroll right over you. And here all of the establishment, talking heads, media, whatever you want to call them, the legacy media, the deep state of Washington, just gleefully covering the demise of Fox News as they see it, because of the settlement, that is. Dominion exposed them because, well, they had to settle. And some of those Fox commentators, they didn't quite agree with what Donald Trump was saying back after the 2020 election, but they nevertheless did cover the election steal, or at least report on it, those that thought that it was stolen. That's all that was exposed. I forget the author, it's later in my notes, but the guy says, look, that a reporter would separate his view from newsworthy coverage or something that's newsworthy, isn't that what they're supposed to do? You compare that with the other side, you know, the radical left that basically says, if I'm Don Lemon and I don't agree with it, that's not even going to be reported on. And that's the way they treated the election steal. They still do. You just don't report on it. There's no evidence. How many times did we hear that? There's no evidence of the election being tampered with. And then they blow up if Fox News discusses it, even for a little bit. So Fox has to settle. There's no fight in them. They're not going to stand up for Tucker or any of the others. In fact, they'll fire Tucker. This is unbelievable. Listen again to Tucker from over the weekend, clip 6.
What's the point of child sacrifice? Well, there's no policy goal entwined with that. No, that's a theological phenomenon. And that's kind of the point I'm making. None of this makes sense in conventional political terms. When people or crowds of people, or the largest crowd of people at all, which is the federal government, the largest human organization in human history, decide that the goal is to destroy things, destruction for its own sake. Hey, let's tear it down. What you're watching is not a political movement. It's evil.
Who knows if this particular speech was the final straw for the Murdoch people. This is not a policy goal behind these radical Democrats. It's pure evil. And their goal, their aim, is destruction. Now, when Susan Rice, who's effectively running the White House, when she decides, hey, I'm going to abandon ship here, what does that mean? What's next? I think we can expect quite a lot more chaos and destruction. Obama's up to something. Susan Rice doesn't step aside. Unless Obama says, hey, it's time. It's time to get out. It's time to let Biden's regime crumble. That's the last. This is all that we can accomplish through Joe Biden. I forget the story that was reporting on Susan Rice's departure, but it concluded by saying Rice has no comment as to what she's going to do next. Well, I can tell you what she's going to do next. She's going to go visit the dear leader down the street, Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama. Play one more clip from Tucker this past weekend, number 7.
This is not necessarily just a Christian notion. This is kind of a, I would say, widely agreed upon understanding of good and evil. What are its products? What do these two conditions produce? Well, I mean, good is characterized by order. calmness, tranquility, peace, whatever you want to call it, lack of conflict, cleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's true. It is. And evil is characterized by their opposites. Violence, hate, disorder, division, disorganization, and filth. So if you are all in on the things that produce the latter basket of outcomes, what you're really advocating for is evil. That's just true. I'm not calling for religious war, far from it. I'm merely calling for an acknowledgement of what we're watching.
Tucker there is commenting on the two ways of life. You go back to the ministry of Herbert Armstrong. It's brought out here in Mystery of the Ages. His final work, his greatest work. And I can I'm old enough to remember Mr. Armstrong when talking about Ephesians 2:2 or other verses, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. But that verse in Ephesians where Satan, it talks about him being the prince of the power of the air and how that he broadcasts in attitudes and moods of evil, selfishness, discontentment, violence, strife, division. Just like Tucker was saying there, good and evil. Mr. Armstrong simplified it to the way of give versus get. And you see that, I mean, of course, get is pretty well overtaking this world. We're at the Genesis 6 stage of the minds of men being on evil continually, it says. And then Jesus in the New Testament says it's going to be just like the days before the flood. That's what we're seeing. And only a few people, only a few commentators even see the struggle. Only a few of them even see the fight. And now Tucker, his platform on Fox News at least, it's gone. It's gone. His last show, in case you want to see it, it was Friday. And then he's fired this morning. No chance to get on the airwaves tonight. He said in that clip I opened with that we better start praying. Well, there's more than prayer needed. This is from 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray as prayer is part of it, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, the prayer has to be combined with repentance. Otherwise, God won't hear it. God won't listen to those prayers. We have to be doers, not hearers only. We've got to be doers. Pray with action, with the works of repentance. This is from a Trumpet article in 2017. My father writes in November of that year, this was soon after Hurricane Harvey hit Houston and southern Texas there, and he says, when we see horrific crises like these, we have to honestly ask ourselves an important question. Is God answering our nation's prayers today? Is he answering our prayers? If you look at the Bible, you'll see absolute promises from God to answer our prayers. And if you look at America's history, you see many examples of answered prayer. This is a historical fact you can prove. I was telling the students last week, it was a statement that George Washington released. I don't think he was quite president yet. He was presiding over the Continental Army. And he sends out this letter to the troops basically saying that, you know, it's come to my understanding that, you know, we've got a problem with profanity. Some of you men are using swear words. I'm paraphrasing here. But George Washington, who would become America's first president, he said to the troops, look, if you expect God to bless our effort in this struggle, in this fight for independence, we better be obedient. That was for profanity of all things. Curse words. What would George Washington say today? It says here, this is from my father's article. In this case, though, it seems clear that God did not answer those prayers. Why not? The prayers before that hurricane, before all that destruction. It says, if you closely study your Bible, you will see that prayers alone are not enough. After disasters, people often sing God Bless America, but is God blessing America? Ask yourself this. Here you've got one patriot who the deep state went after him back in 2016 and 17. He's out there saying Tucker Carlson is one of the most important voices of our time, and he's right about that. Just looking at it purely in a national sense. And then he's gone. And then he's out. He's fired. He's blotted out. It says here, many in America consider this a religious nation. When crises arise, people often turn to the Bible and to God for solace. We like to see ourselves as religious and righteous. But listen, we've got to bring some hard truths to you on this program. We've got to bring up subjects like prayer and repentance. Read 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 again. God says if it's not combined with repentance, he won't hear it. He won't listen. It's too lukewarm. There's no action there. There's no humbleness of mind. There's no turning to God. This is what God wants. And just to refer you to yet another book, I'll give you the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. But this one here, also by Herbert Armstrong, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you can read how that God, and this is based on Leviticus 26, God says he's going to intensify the curses until we turn to him in repentance. Make sure you call our operators today and request these free materials. We don't charge anything. It's offered freely without cost or obligation. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Leaked Pentagon files reveal that the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency expects the war in Ukraine will last until 2024. The agency predicts that neither side will win or negotiate, but that the war will go in Russia's favor. The leaked documents also predict that Ukraine will not be able to reclaim its lost territory. The Biden administration has tried to downplay the leaks while punishing the leaker. But the documents provide a much more bleak assessment of the war in Ukraine than the Biden administration has previously admitted. Regardless of whether the war in Ukraine continues as long as the documents suggest, one thing is certain. Russian aggression is increasing, and America is not strong enough to stand against it. To understand more about the true significance of the war in Ukraine, read The Ukraine War Will Not Start World War III. The dollar is swiftly losing its international reserve currency status. Since Joe Biden took office, Central banks around the world have dumped $500 billion from their dollar reserves. U.S. currency now represents only 58.4% of official global reserves. China and Russia are leading the push for de-dollarization. Both nations trade with each other using their own currencies and urge other nations to follow their example. On April 13th, Brazil's president encouraged the BRICS nations, which are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, to work toward replacing the U.S. dollar with their own currencies in international trade. Old Testament Bible prophecy warned that America would face financial and economic curses in the end time because of disobedience. The trend of de-dollarization is an important stepping stone toward the prophesied economic collapse of America. To understand more about this important subject, read Our Financial 9/11 Was Prophesied from our booklet, He Was Right. Russian exports of crude oil are back above pre-Ukraine war levels, The Independent reported on April 14th. India and China each buy about 1.5 million barrels per day, roughly 90% of Russia's oil exports. Their oil consumption makes up for the reduction of Russian oil exports to Europe, which used to buy two-thirds of Russia's crude oil before the Ukraine war. Because Russia gives China and India large discounts, its revenues have actually decreased since last year, even though Russian oil exports are at their highest level in 3 years. But while the West aims to weaken Russia economically, India and China are supporting Russia as it redirects its oil exports. Bible prophecy reveals the true significance of the increasingly close ties between these powerful Asian nations. To understand more about this subject, read Russia and China in Prophecy. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Well, I learned during the break that Don Lemon is out at CNN, so there you have it. A perfect day for him to be fired. He's obviously going to be overshadowed by Tucker, but quite a lot happening in the news cycle today. There wasn't much of a reason to watch CNN at any rate, so it's not going to affect their ratings one bit. But when you do have a lone voice that really does expose a lot of evil, I understand, too, from a Twitter feed I saw that Tucker on Friday's show, I didn't see it, but he said there at the end that we'll see you Monday. So this was totally unexpected, at least going up to Friday night. Who knows what sort of discussions were going on over the weekend, but a pretty stunning development. Another tweet pointed out that Biden evidently fired Susan Rice. So some friction between the fake president and the dear leader. This is interesting. What's happening here? Are they throwing Biden under the bus? We've been saying that for a number of weeks now. Listen to this montage. This is all from over the weekend, clip 9.
Nearly three quarters of Americans say the country's going in the wrong direction. Joe Biden is asking for 4 more years. When 74% of Americans think the country's heading the wrong way, it's hard for the boss to say, give me 4 more years.
CBS reported back in October that the FBI had gathered evidence sufficient enough to charge Hunter Biden with tax and gun-related crimes and sent it to the U.S. attorney in Delaware. And we know that in the coming days, Mr. Biden's attorneys are set to meet with the U.S. attorney in Delaware. Do you have any sense if this is going to conclude soon? It's been ongoing since 2018.
No, I don't, Margaret, nor should
53% I. 53% of 2020 Biden voters say he shouldn't run, and 76% of voters under 35 think he shouldn't run.
Voters.
And we didn't prompt them. We said, why don't you think he should run? Well, these were the responses. It almost is all about his age and his ability to do the job. Again, these are among Democratic primary voters. Overall, the president's job rating is not in a good place when you're seeking re-election, sitting at just 41%.
And Terry, do you expect everyone to, all Democrats, to suddenly rally around the president?
Here, my own sense is that most Americans don't want to vote for an 81-year-old man for president.
Wall Street Journal editorial board had a very strong statement about it, saying the public understands what Mr. Biden apparently won't admit, that electing an octogenarian in obvious decline for another 4 years could be an historic mistake. awake. It's impossible to know Mr. Biden's real physical and mental state because the White House goes to great lengths to hide it. But his decline is clear to anyone who isn't willfully blind.
Is that many Democrats worry about his age? Even the New York Times editorial board, which is not exactly a bastion of conservatism, this weekend wrote that candidates shouldn't pretend, as Mr. Biden often does, that advanced age isn't an issue. These are concerns that are not going away.
Well, I think he's too old, really, unfortunately. Happens to all of us. In the meantime, I think he should walk and swing his arms when he walks like regular people. He would look more vigorous.
Some friendly advice there from a caller to the C-SPAN show. But there you are. There you are. I mean, he's on the ropes politically. As I said earlier, he's supposed to come out with his announcement, his videotaped announcement tomorrow, saying that he's going for another 4 years. That's 4 years on top of these last two remaining years. Six more years of Joe Biden. Six more years of illegitimacy. Six more years of all of these catastrophic policies. I don't have time to get to all of them on an hour-long show. This is from the Washington Post. It says, Democratic voters express tepid support for Biden as their nominee. A February poll found that 16% of those who leaned Democratic were enthusiastic about Biden's reelection in 2024. 16% are excited. They're enthusiastic for Joe Biden. Only 16%? That's right. It says here, compared to 57% who said they would be satisfied but not enthusiastic. Among Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents, 58% said they would prefer someone other than Biden as their nominee. Nobody wants him. They're all throwing him under the bus. The voters, the establishment in D.C., the dear leader, Susan Rice. Listen, and amid all of this, it's interesting to me that here Susan Rice, she's out as Biden's top aide, and you got Donald Trump in Florida. He's in Lee County, I think, on the weekend, talking about General Flynn, who evidently is right there in the audience, saying, you better get ready. Stay healthy. We need you. You're coming back. This is clip one.
Along with a friend of mine and a very brave, brave person, somebody that got it very early and went through hell, and he handled it like the brave man he is, General Michael Flynn. Where's Michael? Where is Michael? Thank you, Michael. Brave guy, great guy. You stay in good health, Michael. Get ready, okay? It's not long. Year and a half, Michael. Just stay healthy.
Stay healthy, he says to his friend, General Mike Flynn. And before that, you'll notice he said, Mr. Flynn, he saw it early. He knew what Obama was up to early on. He was coming in and he was going to provide over that security state, that intelligence apparatus, and expose the deep state for what it was. But he didn't have much time in there, did he? Before Comey, all those deep state actors, Brennan, Clapper, Obama, of course, was coordinating it all. You've got to destroy Mike Flynn on what? A phone call. Just anything, a phone call. And you contrast it with what the Biden crime family is getting away with, what Barack Obama gets away with, the Clinton people, all of them. But these people are vicious. And they can take you down because they've got the security state backing it. They've got a weaponized DOJ. All it takes is a transcript from a phone call. And a perfect call at that in the case of Trump's impeachment. And they'll take you down. They have these Republicans that now control the House have so much dirt on the Biden crime family already. But where are the impeachment? Where are the articles of impeachment? Where are, like I said, the Bragg and those people, it takes them a couple weeks and they've got the indictment. They've got articles of impeachment. You know, Gerald Nadler, he's going to walk across Congress along with Pelosi. big show trials. But that's what they want. They want to put it out in front of the world and try to convince the world that Donald Trump is the second coming of Adolf Hitler. Okay, so the Republicans are probably not going to get impeachment proceedings to pass through the Senate too, but at least put it out there. 9 people in the Biden family receiving millions of dollars from the communist government of China? And a lot of people don't follow the news. And now the ones that watch Tucker, he's the only reason that most people watch Fox. Now they're going to even tune out Fox News. Bring the articles of impeachment forward and tell the world that the United States is being led by a corrupt, illegitimate administration. Listen to this report from CBS. This was on Friday, clip 4.
I've never spoken
In the final weeks of the 2020 presidential campaign, the New York Post reported on the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop, alleging he used his father's position for personal gain, a claim the president's son has denied. Less than a week later, more than 50 former intelligence officials released a statement that the laptop had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. At the final presidential debate, then-candidate Biden cited the letter from intel officials to push back against then-President Trump's attacks.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
According to a letter released Thursday night from the Republican chairman of the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell told congressional investigators the days after the laptop story, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, then a Biden campaign advisor, reached out to Morell and set in motion the events that led to the intelligence official's public statement.
Blinken, he was on Biden's campaign. He reaches out, tells Morell, hey, we need a document where you can get all these former CIA directors to sign it at the bottom, a document that says this has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. They needed that so that Biden could say what he said there during that second debate. It was a setup. I mean, this is a bombshell. The media likes to talk about bombshells. Don Lemon used to like to talk about bombshells. And yet, at least CBS is covering it here. But this reveals that it was a political hit job. And it was right before the election. Listen, I think this next one is from 4 days before the election. And you see Joe Biden. He's got his mask on, but he's looking into the camera. And he lies. He lies to American voters. He lies to the nation. This is clip 2.
What about the Americans who really today only want me to ask you about Hunter Biden's laptop? How are you going to get them to see that you are fighting for them when they're so dead set against you?
There's nothing to any of that. Nothing to any of that. It's all a smear. Every major outfit, every serious investigator has pointed out that this is a smear. This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden, there's a laptop. There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community that the Russians are engaged.
Overwhelming evidence from the intel community. You see, like I said on Friday's show, you see how they're all in bed together. They all need each other. The intel community, they need the media to run with stories, and they'll give you the hook, and you just run with it. And then the intel people, they can go into the FISA court and say, well, look, it's all over the news. I mean, CNN's reporting that this is very serious, very, very serious. And then the FISA judge, and so many of them are left, they're left-leaning judges anyway. All right, go ahead, spy on Trump. There's your fake president saying that Donald Trump is the problem. He's the one smearing me. He said, we'll play the debate exchange again. It was in that CBS report. But the great thing about this one is Donald Trump's reaction at the end, where he looks at Biden and says, are you serious? You're going to call this Russia, Russia, Russia? Just like you did with the election hoax in 2016 that I was colluding with Putin? This is clip three.
Look, very quick. There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the care. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend, Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
That's exactly where he was going. He knew he was lying. He lied to America. So many different ways that they rigged and stole the election. So obvious. You look back on these clips, not even from that long ago, and time and time again, the bad orange man, he turns out to be right. It turns out to be exactly right. He was completely right in everything that he said there. They needed those 51 intel guys like John Brennan. It's no problem for him to lie. That Mike Morrell guy, I gave you the quote from the New York Post on Friday, when he was testifying before the House Republicans recently, he said, I did it because I wanted Biden to win. That's the way they operate. I mean, what, John McCain, Mitt Romney, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. They'll make you out to be the devil himself if it's a presidential election campaign we're talking about. But Donald Trump, he's the worst of the worst in their eyes because he fights back. He fights against the establishment. Here he is. I haven't even gotten to Ray Epps. CBS last night, really? There's people arrested and potentially going to jail for decades that didn't even go into the Capitol. And Ray Epps is somehow a saint? That's what CBS wants you to believe. Here, just think about these turns of events. You have early March, Tucker Carlson, he shows some of the video. And what's going to happen now to the other thousands and thousands of hours of footage from Congress that day, January 6th? Because it was handed over to Tucker. And now all of a sudden that's gone. Well, what Tucker did show in early March was that Jacob Chansley, he was just walking down the aisle, escorted by the Capitol Police. And now in jail for 4 years, I guess the sentence has been reduced or downgraded. Either way, though, I mean, this is a miscarriage of justice. And it happens all over the place, except you've got Ray Epps, the one guy inciting it, and he somehow gets off scot-free. Because you know he's connected in some form or fashion to the feds. Some government agency, it has to be. But here they're promoting Ray Epps on CBS last night, and then this morning Fox News announces that Tucker is out. As I said, judging by the way Tucker concluded his show on Friday, he didn't know this was coming. Play that clip you guys grabbed if you have it.
That's it for us for the week. We'll be back. By the way, the entire episode of Let Them Eat Bugs, not quite as good as pizza, streaming now on Fox Nation. Use the promo code ORIGINALS for 30 days free. And we'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, have the best weekend with the ones that you love, and we'll see you then.
We'll be back on Monday. And there, he was promoting Fox Nation, by the way, which is, here again, Tucker's originals are the only reason to subscribe to Fox Nation. So Fox Nation's out. That's the end of Fox Nation. And this is the end of Fox News. There he is. We'll be back Monday. I guess not. Not if Rupert Murdoch has anything to say about it. So here's CBS putting Ray Epps forward as a hero. As a hero. And people aren't even buying it. I'll get to that in a second. Even as Fox News, hours later, blots out Tucker Carlson. Isn't that amazing? This is from... This is from the National Post. It says here, most Americans now suspect federal agents provoked January 6th, says poll data. This is a Rasmussen poll. The CBS has the fawning praise for Ray Epps, but nobody buys it. Nobody wants to see it. They're as interested in that as they are Don Lemon. Now, those are individuals that are fired because no one's watching. In the case of Tucker, everyone watches. Ordinary Americans, everyone's watching. And so, of course, America's under attack. So he's got to be silenced. He's got to be blotted out. The devil's not going to take any of this lying down. As I've said so often about the communist left, I mean, you do have to give them credit for being unified and vicious on their attacks. They are relentless. They've been calling for Tucker to be banned for months and months and months. This is exactly what, you know who's cheering, not America, Joy Reid, those kinds of people. The View, they're going to be cheering. But not ordinary Americans. They're going to be canceling their cable subscriptions. It says here, a large majority of Americans now suspect that U.S. federal agents provoked the January 6th riots at the United States Capitol, according to the poll, a poll conducted by Rasmussen. A large majority. It says here, nearly two-thirds, 65% of likely U.S. voters think the events at the Capitol were provoked following the release of the videotapes by Fox News' Tucker Carlson Tonight in March. It says this represents an increase of 4 points since March 2nd when Rasmussen last polled the issue. Tucker's commentary, in other words, was having an impact. It was making a difference. It was exposing evil. It was spreading truth. And you could see it with your own eyes. You could look at the footage. And you could see Chansley wasn't doing anything violent. He was just wandering through the Capitol. And we've seen other footage where the Capitol police were happy to open the doors. There was the other guy who came in and he was in there for exactly 19 seconds, just milling around in the crowd and out. And then the DOJ, they're after him. They want to put him behind bars. Not Ray Epps. Because Ray Epps told us, or rather CBS told us last night, that Ray Epps is not a Fed and he's not an insurrectionist. CBS knows. I mean, CBS has seen the same footage you've seen. But CBS knows because that's in the narrative, okay? Every Trump supporter that was there is a criminal, except for Ray Epps. That's what they're reporting. They're still saying that Ray Epps is a Trump supporter. Well, Ray Epps says he is, or was. These people, and then they take themselves so seriously, like Jake Tapper. And what did Jake Tapper say about Hunter Biden's laptop? I'm losing my voice. I got to calm down. He said it was the content on the laptop. This is from Fox News back in 2020. CNN anchor Jake Tapper declared that the growing allegations made against Hunter Biden ahead of the final presidential debate are too disgusting to repeat on air. You see, Jake Tapper, he's like... He's like the rating system for the movies. He's determined that the laptop, I mean, it's too disgusting. We can't report on that. And then finally he gets around to the IRS investigation into Hunter a full month or two after the presidential election. How convenient. This is from Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. It says the context for the IRS whistleblower case of political interference. So you've got, this is all from last week now. You've got the IRS whistleblower coming forward, basically saying, I'm willing to testify that Merrick Garland, he's over the DOJ. I'm willing to testify that he lied to Congress. This was revealed just last week. The lawyers out there for this whistleblower trying to get him whistleblower status, his client, so that he can come and say, look, Hunter and the Biden people, they're all getting preferential treatment because of their politics. Tucker's wise enough to say, this is not political. This is good versus evil. It says here, if the IRS and FBI completed their... Well, let me just back up. The context for the IRS whistleblower case of political interference in the Hunter Biden investigation gains a significant amount of context with this new revelation. According to NBC reporting, the FBI investigation of Hunter Biden concluded a year ago. Now you know why the IRS whistleblower is coming forward. He's like, are you serious? This investigation went on for years and it was completed a year ago and there's nothing? Let's get someone like Alvin Bragg in there that can throw together an indictment in 2 weeks. Not on this side. Not when it's a Biden. Not when it's part of the Antiochus government. They are untouchables. It says here, if the IRS and FBI completed their investigation, then where are the charges? Where are the charges? I mean, the crimes are right there on the computer that all those 51 intel agents said was Russian disinformation. Media 18 months later acknowledged, I guess it is Hunter's. This is from NBC. Federal prosecutors have considered charging Hunter Biden with 3 tax crimes and a charge related to a gun purchase, said 2 sources familiar with the matter. The possible charges are 2 misdemeanor counts for failure to file taxes, a single felony count of tax evasion related to a business expense for 1 year of taxes, and the gun charge, also a potential felony. You think they'd be dragging their feet if all of these crimes were committed by Donald Trump or by his son or anyone in the Trump family or anyone in the Trump orbit? Look at what they got Flynn on, as I said. Look at what they got. It's a bookkeeping thing for Donald Trump. And it's not even a broken law. There's no crime there. But they got the indictment. No problem. What a system. 2 senior law enforcement sources told NBC about growing frustration inside the FBI because investigators finished the bulk of their work on the case about a year ago. A senior law enforcement source says the IRS finished its investigation more than a year ago. So like Sundance says, no wonder you've finally got a whistleblower coming forward, because the few agents in these agencies who aren't corrupt, who haven't gone rogue, are sitting there going, this is outrageous. There's all this evidence. You went through all these investigations. You have their laptop. And they basically concluded it a year ago. But we'll see. We'll see, because as we know, there's the break now between Biden's people, and Barack Hussein Obama. Susan Rice is out. If Biden's under the bus, I mean, as I said last week, you can only imagine how much dirt Barack Obama has on Joe Biden. Obama's untouchable, but when they're finished with Biden, he's no longer untouchable. His family is no longer in that untouchable class. Lots of earth-shaking developments, for sure. And of course, we're focused, at least on today's show, primarily on the United States. But you look at these, again, just these the catastrophic crises coming as a result of government sickness from the head on down. We're evacuating our embassy in Sudan right now. These little rogue governments, speaking of rogue operators, these dictators, these tyrants, these terrorists, and the United States scrambling to remove its embassy staff. How many, Sam was noting this morning, there was an embassy that had to shut down a few months back, early on in the fake Biden presidency. How many embassies, you think back to the 2012-13 period, what was happening in Egypt? Think about how many embassies shut down during the presidency of Barack Obama. Then you've got Donald Trump. And then after that, now Biden. Here Sudan comes along, blows up into civil war. We've got to rescue our people and leave thousands stranded as well. It's like another Afghanistan. It's like a mini Afghanistan, basically. That's playing out even as we speak. Another disaster abroad for the United States of America. And the whole world is watching. The world is watching as our media tell lies about Ray Epps, and as Rupert Murdoch just scrubs Tucker from the platform entirely. The shameful withdrawal in Sudan now. What happened in Afghanistan almost 2 years ago. The southern border, I mean, you could just go on and on and on. I don't have time to get into this PJ Media piece about what's happening in Sudan. Maybe we can follow up on that on tomorrow's show. But we're out of time, unfortunately. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show with some feedback, we'd love to hear from you. td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us today, and we will see you tomorrow.